with hymn number 18 in your spiral, Gospel Hymns, Hymn Book, hymn number 18. And instead of singing the refrain for each verse, we'll just sing straight through. Sing the refrain as if it was verse number 2. Let's all stand together.
God gave His holy inspired word for only one great end, the prophets and apostles to reveal the sinner's friend. The Bible is a book of Christ. It only speaks of Him. On every page it shows us Christ. It only speaks of Him. The prophecies of old record God's wondrous mighty deeds, those deeds of power and of grace set forth the woman's seed. The prophets all reveal our Lord as prophet, priest, and King, the types the great redemption show, Christ's blood and grace now bring. Behold the Lamb, the Baptist said, the sin atoning one, as it was promised long before, God's Son as man has come. Our substitute obeyed the law, then died and rose again, and in His word our Savior said, rejoice, I come again.
Please be seated.
I was thinking, I don't know who I feel worse for, you or me. A little of both, probably. Me for not being sufficient, and you for having to hear me not be sufficient. Turn with me, please, in the Word of God to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and we'll start at verse 13. The Lord is telling us right here the means He's going to use for the salvation of His people. And these are the only means He reveals in this whole book. And that's the preaching of the gospel. And let us see what the Lord says. So saith the Lord. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. That's the peace with God. It's not a worldly peace, it's a peace with God. And bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? In verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I guess what makes just so insufficient is when you realize how important what we're doing. This is the salvation of men and women, boys and girls' souls. That's what's at stake. And God says the only way they can be saved is through the foolishness of preaching. The preaching of the gospel of God's grace in Christ. And that's why as believers, oh, how we desire for our loved ones, come and hear. Because there's no salvation apart from the preaching of the gospel. This idea, you've heard some people say, well, I was saved in a false gospel church, and that's a lie. That's a lie. The only way the Lord's going to save you is the preaching of his gospel. Paul said the only gospel can save of the Lord Jesus Christ and his grace towards his people. Oh, how important is this preaching? How we desire for our lost friends and loved ones to hear this preaching. And how I desire tonight for the Lord to speak to us. And it always amazes me that I have to confess. And Robert, we're going to try on Sunday to preach. And Greg is very good. He'll give you a couple of months' notice. And I'll just tell you, it's up to that last day and I'm still struggling. Well, this time he called me and said, you got a week. And I was already struggling with the next Sunday. And I said, well, all I can tell you is I've never felt sufficient. I never will feel sufficient. Because there's no man that is sufficient. And how we are relying on God to speak to us. And we are just merely tools of voice. That's all we are. And if the Lord doesn't speak, it'll be in vain tonight. There'll be nothing worth. But if he does speak, it'll be the blessing of our souls and to his people and to his glory. Let us go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless the services. Lord, we know that you're present with us. You've promised that. And we desire to see you glorified and you to be declared. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us tonight, that you would send your spirit and give us the faith to believe and rest upon you, and that we would have not any hope outside of you, and that we would be comforted, but most of all, Lord, that you would be glorified. We ask this in the name of your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Number 354 in the hardback hymnal. 354, what a friend we have in Jesus. Let's all stand together. 354.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. To the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Friends despise, forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Please be seated.
Please turn with me in God's Word to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. You know, it's always been this way. It was true in the Word of God. We are thankful for the men that God sends to preach the gospel. But they're just servants. All they do and what they should do, and I pray the Lord enable me to do, as they point them to Christ. In religion, they follow the men. You hear them, Billy Graham was preaching to save me. Lester, you know, pick whoever you want. James Colt, whoever you want. Any flavor of religion. But God's people follow Christ. And that's what I want to talk about this morning in chapter 3. And I was, although we're thankful for them, we pray for them because they're not sufficient either. But one of the things in my life I count as a great blessing, the Lord in his good providence has allowed me to hear several gospel preachers. And one that I think very highly of, and I think about him often, is Brother Henry Mahan. I don't know I've ever met a man that was more faithful to the gospel and yet did it with compassion as he had. Some of you may have never had that experience, but I can tell you he's been responsible for a lot of gospel preachers that came out from under his preaching. But one time we were together and Brother Henry was sharing with the group there, a small group, about when God called him and saved him. Now, some may not know it, but Brother Henry started out as an associate pastor in a traditional Southern Baptist church, Free Will Baptist Church in Ashland, Kentucky. And he was very happy there, and the people loved Brother Henry, and he, Doris, loved them. And I hate to use the phrase, but it's just a phrase, they were fat, dumb, and happy. You ever heard that about somebody? That's how they were. They were content in religion. Well, Brother Henry was telling, he said that every year they would have a revival. And that's just like man's religion. We're going to set a date for a revival and God will respond. That's man and religion. But they'd have a revival. He said it was more like a county fair or a carnival than it was a church service. They'd have balloon rides and eat this and jumping booths and all those things, ride a pony, and anything they could do to draw people into the church for that revival. Well, Brother Henry says, one year I was put in charge of getting the preacher. And he said, we got closer to that date, and it was about 2 weeks out, and the senior pastor said, well, Henry, who'd you get to come and preach for a revival? Henry said, oh my, I had forgot, he said. I ran to my study and I called a man that taught at a Bible college in North Carolina. And I called him, I said, Dr. Charlie, please help me. He said, I'm in a fix. He said, we're having a revival in 2 weeks and I forgot to get a preacher. He said, do you know anybody that could come and preach? Because you preach for all week. Anybody that could come and preach for us in such short notice and would stay the whole week. And the president of the college said, well, I do. He said, we got a man right here that teaches school. And he's a great preacher. Brother Henson said, well, would you ask him to come? He said, tell me. And sure enough, the man agreed to come. Brother Henry didn't know the man, know anything about him. But God did. And that man came. Brother Henry said, the church was packed. He said, I was sitting right up front, you know, right in the middle. And he said, that man hadn't preached but about a minute, and I knew something was different. Said he got up and he didn't say, I'm glad to be here, thank you for, he didn't say, he said, open your Bibles too, and he began preaching. And Henry said, I never heard a man preach like this man preached. Said every word he used pierced my heart. Now this is a so-called preacher. My heart was pierced. He said, the more that man preached, I realized if what he's saying is true, I'm not a gospel preacher. In fact, I'm not even saved. And he said, the man kept preaching. He said, I didn't know it, but he said, people got mad. People got up and walked out behind me, walked out of the church when this man was preaching. Brother Henry said, I sat there for an hour and I listened to this man. And he said, when he's got done, I couldn't wait to get to my study. And he said, I made a beeline to my study. And in that hour it took him to preach and 5 minutes to get there, said in an hour and 5 minutes when I opened my Bible, God had rewrote my Bible. It wasn't the same Bible that I came in there. Because he said, that man preached that salvation was by the will of God and not the will of man. And he kept saying, God willed, God purposed, God ordained. And Brother Henry said, it wasn't just a verse here and a verse there. He said, everywhere I looked, but I never seen it before. And he said, I trembled. I knew this man was preaching. That's the first time, he said, I ever heard the gospel. He said, well, when I was done, he said, you better come in here, Henry. The men had all gathered after the services. And there was a large group of men in the room. And he said, they were fighting mad. And they were arguing back and forth. Because the most of them were saying, we'll not have this man preach another sermon in this church. He's bringing division in this church. He's causing people to doubt their salvation. But there was a handful that said, we're rejoicing what he's preaching. We believe what he's preaching. We want him to stay. And they kept going back and forth, back and forth. And finally, this is, I've said all that to say what I, my favorite part. He said, one of the most respected men in the congregation stood up. And here's what he said. He says, gentlemen, John the Baptist has come to Ashland, Kentucky. And Ashland, Kentucky will never be the same. And brethren, it wasn't. That's the title of this message. Has John the Baptist come to you and to me? Because if he has, John's the gospel preacher. If he has, your life will never be the same. And that's what I want to look at tonight. What did John preach? What did John preach? Both Matthew and Luke both say, upon earth there was none greater than John. They both said he was the greatest preacher that they had ever heard. Except the Lord Jesus Christ. But what did John preach? Because I fear that today, John, his preaching wouldn't be recognized. They wouldn't even know what he's talking about. But oh, God, give us more John the Baptist. We have a John the Baptist here. God, give us John the Baptist to come and declare the gospel to us. Because when that happens, that's when he saves his people. old quote years ago. Some of you may know it. He said, when the gospel of God's grace in Christ is preached, believers get glad, unbelievers get mad, and Pharisees get confused. And that's how it goes. We see that here sometimes, don't we? People can't, I got to get out of here. I ain't going to listen. But no, when the child of God hears it, when John the Baptist comes, their life will never be the same. So let us look in Matthew chapter 3. And it says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. I got news for you. You're in the wilderness. This is the wilderness. We're all in the wilderness. People don't know God. They have no fear of God. We're just beasts roaming this earth. John says he was preaching in the wilderness. Every gospel preacher that preaches preached in the wilderness. And verse 2 he's saying, and John says, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Robert and I was talking about that repentance. Can you think of the last time you heard someone say repent? You need to repent. Means you need to have your mind changed. And it's not something you can do. That's the difference between religion and gospel. Religion says you need to change your mind and you can do it. The gospel says you need to have your mind changed and you can't do it. You need God to do it for you. And if God doesn't do it, it's not going to get done. But I need my mind changed. And why do I need my mind changed? Because the word of God says, I came into this world at enmity, an enemy of God, because of the sin of our father Adam. We come into the world as enemies of God. You know, you hear people today and you ask them, well, yeah, you probably heard them before. I've never hated God. Well, if you can say that, the reason is because you still hate God. We come to this world as God haters. And we need God to change our mind. Because he says our mind, when we come to this world, and our heart is infinitely wicked. Who can trust it? We can't. Evil continuously. That's what he says about us. But God needs to give us repentance. He needs to change our mind about God. He needs to change our mind about Christ. He needs to change our mind about salvation. And he needs to change our mind about ourselves. If God will do that for you, when John the Baptist comes, your life will never be the same. I promise you that. When we look at it, what does he need to change our mind about God? If you ask most religious folks, do you believe God is sovereign? Their answer will be, yes, we believe God's sovereign. But, his sovereignty can only go so far. Sovereign's one of those, it's like pregnant. You either are or you aren't. There's no in between. There's not an almost. It's either you're sovereign or you're not. That's how my doctor told me, Tom, you like this one. I said, well, you're a pre-diabetic. No, you're either diabetic or you're not. He said, it's that simple. He said, you say you're pre-diabetic because you're diabetic, don't want to admit it. That's what it means. But God, we say that God is sovereign. That means he's over everything. God's word said the Lord Jesus Christ is over heaven and earth. And he's over everything. You ask them, we had a horrific storm, you know, a hurricane here. And it was devastating. Was God behind that? If he's sovereign, the answer is yes. Yes, he is behind that. And as believers, we know he is. We may not understand everything God does, but we know he is sovereign. And what we take confidence in, this is, you know, somebody asked me one time, well, you mean, if what about somebody don't hear the preaching of the gospel? What about a little baby? I said, all I can tell you is that's what God has said. And God has said this, the judge of all the earth shall do right. Where God has spoken, I can speak. Where God has not spoken, I need to be silent. He's spoken that he's going to do through the preaching of the gospel. And anything outside of that, all I know is God said he's going to do right. And I believe that. That's what repentance is. I believe God. He has to change our mind about God. They say God loves everybody. That's not what the word of God says. God said he hates the works of iniquity all the day long. Iniquity is like what it says, like a water that flows out of us. God loves Christ, he loves righteousness, and he loves those who are in Christ. And everybody outside of Christ, he hates with a holy hatred. And God is sovereign over all. He needs to change our mind about Christ. To say that Christ died for everybody. And that Christ cannot save anybody unless man's will allows him that. That's a denial of who Christ is. You know, our mind lets us think, well, God, he should love everybody. Christ should die for everybody. That makes everybody feel warm and fuzzy, but that's just not the truth. That's a lie. God loves his son. Christ is the only one that can save us. That's what John was preaching. You need to have your mind changed about Christ. He's the only one that can save you. All your salvation's in him. And if he doesn't do all the work, he hasn't done any of the work. Oh, the natural man always wants to add to the works of Christ, don't they? That's what religion's famous for. Add to the works of Christ. Well, we know that salvation, God needs to change our mind about it. Because the world today, what they hold to is, and this is what they teach, God loves everybody. Christ died for everybody. God wants to save everybody. And you have Christ in your hands. And you can either accept his offer of salvation or you can reject it. That's what works religion teaches, isn't it? Free will religion. And I will say this. Everything outside of the gospel is free will religion. The truth of the matter is we're in Christ's hands. And his holiness demands he either save us or he cast us down into the pit of hell. And it is his decision, not ours. And the best I can do is plead for him to have mercy on me. Now that'll cause you to repent if God ever gives you the faith to believe that. Oh, and self. Lord says, in my flesh, Paul said, in my flesh there is no good thing. Do you believe that about yourself? You didn't come into the world believing that. You thought you was, well, I have some flaws, but I'm not, everything about me's not evil. That's not true. God needs to change our mind about that. That we are sin. Sin is who we are. Sin's not what we do. That we are totally sinners. And we can do nothing for ourselves. I think Brother Tom was there, and Brian, you were there, and some others. When John the Baptist came to Orlando, Florida, in the name of Todd Nybert. And guess what? He brought the sword of the gospel. And when it did, those were there, you know, it caused, Brian, you're saying, it caused some anger and some hurt feeling, and that people were mad. I remember when he preached, I'll never forget, he preached on the leper, that the leper couldn't be declared clean until every inch of their skin was covered in leprosy. That's a picture of us and our sin. I remember after he got done and left, the people gathered around and said, well, you know, that sermon was okay, but I don't know why he preached it here. We're all believers. And they believed it. But the good news, John the Baptist had come. And there were some lost sheep in that room. And when those lost sheep heard that sovereignty is by the will of God and not the will of man, They rejoiced, didn't they? They rejoiced. They were comforted. You couldn't hear enough, could you? Tell it to me again. I want to hear it again. You know, that's how I got grandkids. I don't know how they do it. They'll watch a movie. Let's watch it again. Oh my gosh, we just spent 2 hours watching that. Let's do it again. Right there. That's what the believer says when John the Baptist comes to them and the gospel's preached and God is pleased to send his Spirit to give them the faith to repent and believe. They'll want to hear more. You never get tired of it. I'm old, he's been dead many years, said we'll never outgrow the ABCs of the gospel. And we never will. But John came, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand today, not tomorrow. There's no guarantees tomorrow, is there? This, for all I know, this may be the last night we see some of us. I hate to say it, but I'm looking forward to that. I hope you don't see me. Robert, hope you have to preach both sermons on Sunday. I really do. We want to be with Christ. Christ is our hope. He's our resting place. And we want to be with him. And John said, the kingdom of heaven, it's here right now. It's here right now. Not like the religious believed. You know, I don't know of anything more evil than to speak peace to someone where God has not spoken peace. And that's what religion is famous for. You folks know what I'm talking about. You know, you can leave here tonight knowing whether you're going to heaven or hell. Let me just do this prayer and you can know you're going to heaven. And you walk out of that room thinking you have peace, but you don't have peace with God. There's no repentance, no faith. Did God change you? Well, no, I just accept. No, I need God to change me. I can't change on my own. I need him to change everything about me. I always like Brother Greg said, I don't need my heart fixed. I need a new heart. I need a new heart. John says, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 3, for this is what that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Declare the gospel clearly and concisely. We don't need to mix in anything else because God says straight. That's Christ. Christ didn't say Christ made the straight ways. He is the straight way. Everything else is crooked. And the same John, verse 4, in raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. What this is telling us, there was nothing special about John the Baptist other than what Christ made him special. He was a common man. Nothing we know of says he was well educated. He's out in the wilderness preaching the gospel, but he was a common man. The Lord uses, that's who the Lord uses to preach his gospel. I don't care how many, I don't want to ever hear a sermon from Dr. So-and-so. I just don't want to hear it. As soon as they say, well, you need to hear Dr. Song. No need there. I need to hear from John the Baptist, a common man who God's speaking through. I want to hear who God's speaking through. I don't care what school you went to, what degrees you have. I want to hear him because they're going to preach the gospel of my salvation. That's what I need to hear. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around Jordan. Verse 6, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. The false religious always tell you, you need to confess your sins to God. If I started right now, till my last breath was gone, I couldn't even begin to cover all my sins. That's not what this means. I need, confess means to agree. I need to agree with God when he says, in me there is no good thing, in my flesh that is. That I have no righteousness. All I have is sin, and everything I do is sin. Sin is who I am. It's not what I do. I sin because I am sin. That's just my nature. And I need God. I need God to do for me what I can't do for myself. Give me the ability to change my mind and repent, and give me the faith to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord has to give them both to me. I can't do either one on my own. Baptizing. Verse 7. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, "Boy, I sure am glad to see you guys. I'm glad you come out to join us. Oh, generation of vipers." Well, that wasn't very friendly, was it? Well, just that John the Baptist, they said he wasn't that friendly either. He was more concerned about preaching the gospel than making friends. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You're coming out here and you want to participate in baptism as some religious ceremony. No, you need repentance and you need faith in Christ. Baptism has never saved a single soul. Never has, never will. And I'll say on the same time, everyone whom God's given repentance and faith to, they will want to be baptized. You can't stop them from being baptized. It's our public profession of our union with Christ that we're making in front of other believers who's made that same profession. It's not a religious ceremony. I know, I participate. I went through a religious ceremony. I was, gosh, I hate to say this now, I was probably 40-something years old. And I went through a religious ceremony. I was no more saved than I was as lost as could be. I knew some truths, but I didn't know the truth. Like Margaret always, I've quoted Margaret too many times. I was doctrinally sound and Christless. Does that make any sense to you? I knew doctrine, but I didn't know Christ. I wasn't baptized. I just went through a religious ceremony. Then when John the Baptist came to me, and the gospel was declared, and God's Spirit was pleased to give me, change my mind about everything, and give me the faith to rest in Christ, you couldn't stop me from being baptized. I knew right then I'd never had a baptism. What's the Lord say? He said, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. All I did was put myself underwater. They put me underwater, have everybody shake my hand. No, that wasn't a baptism. That's what these men came for. They come for a religious ceremony. A religious ceremony. And he sent them away. In verse 8, he said, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." Somebody says, "I want to be baptized." Oh, what do you believe about, say about Christ and God? There's people says, "Well, you know, I've always believed that about God. Or I've always believed that about Christ. Or I've always believed that about salvation. I've always believed that about myself." I have great fear for them. Because if you've always believed it, it means you still believe it. You're still lost. And here's what he tells them. Look what he tells them in verse 9. "And don't you dare say with yourselves, we have Abraham our father." You know what? The Jews still believe that. I worked with a Jewish man. They still believe that. Abraham's my father. That's my hope of salvation. "For I say to you that God is able to of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." I must say, I'm always concerned about our young people. I hope it's not. I can say this right, I hope. It is, I can't tell you the blessing it is, no matter what age, to be where the gospel's preached. I will tell you from person, I always encourage parents, they hear a whole lot more than you think they do. I said, I remember things when I was 4 or 5 years, I can still hear that preacher standing up there saying, "We're all hell-bound and hell-deserving unless God intervenes." I was 4 or 5 years old. I didn't know what to, but I remember it. So it's a great blessing they grow up. But that's not salvation. They still need repentance and they still need faith. And without it, it's either a greater judgment on them for hearing the truth and not repenting and believing. And how we, I just tell you, I always tell them, they don't know the prayers that's went up for them, pleading with God for their souls. I know we do. Verse 10, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down. It's going to be cast in the fire. The day of the kingdom of the Lord's now. Judgment's coming. Judgment is coming. God, who has promised judgment, will not break that promise. Judgment is coming. And John says, I indeed baptize you with water and repentance. And this is what every John the Baptist does. He points him to Christ. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. When Christ baptizes you, he sends his Spirit to you and gives you the faith to repent and to believe. And when you're baptized, you are truly expressing your union. You're saying, all my hope of salvation. That's what baptism is. All my hope of salvation is on Christ. That's all my hope. That's all the hope I got. And that's all the hope I want. And that's the only hope I need. I certainly don't have any hope in me. Because I disappoint me. I know there's no way. That's the comfort. That's the comfort of our salvation, isn't it? That it's all in Christ. And he cannot fail. Why? Because we know he's changed our mind and we know he's sovereign. Whatever he ordains is going to come to pass. Whatever he wills is going to come to pass. And I know he has given me the faith to believe that my salvation is by the will of God and not my will. That's my comfort. That's what that's something you can, as they say, hang your hat on. Verse 12, Christ, who's the fan in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor, and he's going to gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. I hope Sunday to talk about there's two kinds of people in this world. And the Lord, several ways he calls them. One is wheat and the other is tares. One is sheep and the other is goats. And God decides which, all mankind falls into one of those two groups, and God decides which is the one you fall into. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John. Here's God coming to John to be baptized. And John forbade him. Robert, can you imagine that? Christ come to you and said, I'd like you to baptize me. Oh, no, Lord. I'm blaspheming enough. I certainly don't want to do that. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. John needed to be baptized by Christ. And comest thou to me? Why are you coming to me? I'm just one in the wilderness. I'm nothing but sin. You're the Savior. You're the Creator. I'm the creature. Verse 15, and Jesus answered, said to him, suffer to be so now. For thus it becometh us, you see what it said there? Us. He's not talking just about himself. He's saying, John, it calls us to fulfill all righteousness. Now, I don't know. I kept thinking, well, why did Christ need to be baptized? Well, yeah, he did trust in God the Father. That's true. But I thought of a sermon a few weeks back, Robert preached. And I pray God give us the ability to understand this. When God the Father, in the covenant of grace, put his, and I'm trying to use this, certain people, that's biblical, isn't it? Certain day, certain man, we need to use that word more often. Certain people, and he took those certain people and he gave them to the Lord Jesus Christ. He put them, right, Robert? That's what Robert preached. He put them in Christ. And everything the Lord Jesus Christ done, they done. That's why the Lord was baptized. For those who are in Christ. He says we was with him in his what? Was with him on Calvary. We was with him in the ascension. We was with him in his baptism. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. You don't see this anywhere else in the Scriptures, but verse 17, and lo, a voice from heaven, God the Father, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Well, if God is pleased with his Son, he's also pleased with who else? Those who are in his Son. That's the only way God can be pleased with you and me, is that we be found in Christ. He's not pleased with those outside of Christ. That's my only hope, that I'm in Christ. Because I am. I know God's pleased. He's pleased with his Son. He's pleased with me. Because everything his Son did, I did. Those who are in Christ, we did everything the Father, Christ did. And John walked away. I pray that God would give us more John the Baptist. John's a picture of the gospel preacher to preach the gospel of God's grace in Christ. But brethren, we plead with him to give us repentance. We need you to change our minds. If you don't change our minds, we'll keep going just like we always were. We'll never change. And we need you to give us faith to rest in Christ for everything. I'll close. I've said this before, because I don't know why. I guess it's a flaw in me. But I'm not a very bright man, so I'm a simple man. I remember, he's dead now, gospel preacher, brother named Maurice Montgomery. I don't know if some of you may have never heard of him. He's in Kentucky. You heard him, Brother Maurice. You remember Brother Maurice? He stood right here in this pulpit. And this is what he did. He said, "You see what I'm doing?" I remember sitting right back over, and I thought, "Well, yeah, he's breathing." And he said, "And I'm dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ for the very next one." That's how dependent we are. For everything. Everything. May God bless him. May God be glorified. Tom.
We'll close with hymn number 233. We'll just sing the first three verses. Just the first three verses. 233.
Sin lament. Now my foul. implore, we believe and sin.